But now it's time to go legal. And we chat to Peter Allam on a Monday morning, our Legal Eagle slots. And Peter's standing by to talk to us about today's topic. Peter, very good morning.
Yes, morning, Wayne. Very good morning to you. Nice and sunny morning. Coast was nice and clear on the way in today. To all our listeners, good morning. Chat this morning about law and what the position is with the amendments to law and that type of thing. I thought it would be proper to start by saying, you know, how is a law made? So when we look at laws in the different countries, it is normally Parliament, that is the national legislature, the lawmaking body, in other words, particularly in South Africa, that is the position. And as such, one of its major functions is to pass new laws or to amend existing laws or to abolish or repeal old laws, in other words, cancel them, and, you know, to make sure that we kept updated with the law and how it is going to be put into operation and what it in fact is. Obviously, that is all guided by the Constitution of the of South Africa, which governs and basically, well, not basically, but applies to all law and conduct within South Africa. So, you know, that's how a law is made, done through Parliament. Who makes the laws? Both houses of Parliament do that. You get the National Assembly and you get the National Council of Provinces. You know, you've got those two tiers. You've got one which is basically the National Assembly, where all the ministers and that are, and then locally, like the Eastern Cape, we have our own little premier and that type of thing, and that's the National Council of Provinces. We have one called the Eastern Cape one, which sits at Bishop. Each province has that. So a bill or a draft law can only be introduced into Parliament by a minister, a deputy minister, a parliamentary committee, or an individual member of Parliament, in other words, one of the MPs. And in fact, you know, you probably find that most of the bills are initiated by the executive, basically, and that's where they go through. What is the law, I suppose, is another question that people are going to want to know. A law is basically a system of rules, you know, enforced through the various institutions to regulate human conduct. It shapes politics, economics, and society. You know, there are different types of law, of course, as well. You know, the various different types of law is you get the election of political parties, you get human rights, the protection of human rights. You know, constitutional law basically provides a framework for the creation of law, the protection of the law, and that type of thing. And, of course, when it comes to law, you get contract law, you get property law, you get trust law, you get criminal law, you get constitutional law, you get administrative law, and all of those cover everything that happens in the day-to-day world where we live. Especially in South Africa, everything is governed by a law of some or other sort. So that's when I looked at it and I thought to myself, well, let's check what changes there have been in the law. And one of the most important ones, which affects the majority of our learners, is the protection of tenants and landlords. There are a whole lot of new laws that are coming to place in that regard. And the key adjustments there are that it is now mandatory for all leases of any nature relating to accommodation to be put into writing, and they must be legally binding. In other words, you can no longer rent your home to Joe Soap by way of a shake of a hand and that type of thing. It must be in writing. That is as of 2026. If it's not in writing, it's of no force and effect. You cannot implement anything. Obviously, all the ones that came into effect before that are still in order, but you must be able to prove that. So mandatory for leases to be in writing. The second thing is that, you know, there's been so many disputes over deposits that are paid. You know, the norm is to pay 1 or 2 months rental as a deposit on a home. And the situation is such that it is now compulsory that that deposit be paid, and that it be opened in an interest-bearing account. No longer can the owner take that money and spend it on himself and at the end say, okay, I've got 10,000 rand as a deposit and I just pay back the 10,000. It must be in an interest-bearing account, and it must have the interest on it at the end of the day, so that when you do the outgoing inspection and time to pay back and check that there are no damages, the amount is there with the interest that it has earned in an interest-bearing account. Mm-hmm. That is not applicable to businesses, but to house leases,
to domestic
home leases. Mm. So please be careful in that regard. You no longer can put it into your pocket, spend it, and say, oh, I'll work out some sort of interest rate at the end. Mm. It's now compulsory that the deposit is placed into an account in a bank, and it's an interest-bearing account. The third important thing with home leases is that joint inspections are now compulsory. No longer can you say, ah, rent it, you know, take it as it is, footstoots, we don't have to do anything. They've now made it important and compulsory that you will do an inspection when you go in. You will list that there are broken windows, no missing window frames, that there are no roof leaks, that there are keys in the house, that there's extension cords, that the electricity works, that, you know, what condition the paint is in and that type of thing. So mm-hmm. you've got to have an incoming inspection and, of course, an exiting, inspection as well when you leave one day. Mm-hmm. So the two joint inspections are compulsory now, unlike the old days where it wasn't. And then, of course, this is an interesting one because, you know, they've now said that the dwelling must be habitable and up to a standard. So it's got to be habitable, it's got to be safe, and it's got to be structurally sound. Mm. So repairs are mandatory. If there's something wrong, for example, if one or two plugs are not working, there's now a duty on you to fix it. You can't say, oh, well, you know, this guy wanted to rent the house and he was quite happy to take it footstoots and in the condition that it was in. No. You must now make sure that it's livable. Yeah, mm-hmm. There must be electricity. There must be running water. There must be sanitation. Those three things are very, very important, and they must all be there. Mm. And then, of course, the other thing that's been enhanced and strengthened is the tribunal. The rental housing tribunal is there. You don't need to go through attorneys. Automatically, you can go to the tribunal, lay your complaint there, and they can sort out almost anything. You know, they can rule on building rulings and order faster dispute resolutions and things like that. They can force you to pay back the deposit. They can ensure that it's in an interest-bearing account and all that. Mm. So the rental tribunal now plays a much bigger role in South Africa. So those are the changes insofar as, that goes. When you come to the tribunal, it's there basically to protect landlords as well from unpaid rent and costly evictions, which has been the situation. So the risks of unpaid rent can now be sorted by the tribunal, and, you know, it protects you. The uncertainty and risk has now been taken out of it. Because, of course, you know, with an application, you've got to give so many days' notice. You've got to give the municipality notice of an eviction and all sorts of things. Now that ICOS delay, that lengthy legal cost is going to be done away with, and the tribunal has the right to rule on it with immediate effect. And then, you know, as well, you get safety checks and that type of thing that can take place. Mm-hmm. So, you know, through the tribunal to make sure that everything is intact. So very important that they have certainly changed the law insofar as rentals are concerned, and it's a lot tighter now. When we go to other little aspects, you know, the Marriages Act has also been changed. You know, there's now one single law for all marriages. There's no such thing as civil unions, you know, polygamous marriages. You know, there used to be the old black marriages and that type of thing. All of those marriages, customary marriages, as they're called, civil, custom, or religious, they've all got to now be registered with the Department of Home Affairs. So, yes, you do have to go down to Home Affairs if you're going to get married. You do have to register there, and the minister either does it for you or you go back down and you make sure that it is registered correctly. Mm. So the new bill, which came into effect recently, replaces and upgrades all the old acts. There used to be three separate acts, one that used to do civil marriages, one that used to do customary marriages, and one that used to do religious marriages. Those are all now done away with. The confusion that there was because this one said this and that one said that and they were different and nobody knew whether they were married under the old Bantu customary law, whether they were married to a civil right or law and that type of thing. So that new act now has done away with that. There's uniformity and that takes the place of that. Your minimum age as well now has been set at 18 years of age. You don't need assistance. 18 and older, and that is going to come into, well, it has come into force and effect with immediate effect as well. So, you know, it reinforces equality in property, in divorces, in inheritance rights and things like that. And that's what it is. So there's stricter legal requirements now that make sure that it's sorted. One of the aspects that is well covered in that is property and divorce. They're clearer rules now on matrimonial property. You know, you need to expand and know beforehand what you're bringing into the marriage and that type of thing. There's a lot of talk out there that the old anti-nuptial contracts have been done away with or not of force and effect. No, that's not the position. It depends on what you entered into at the time and how it has been put into practice after your marriage, you know, the length of the marriage and things like that. So where it was found maybe unfair that you had a woman that maybe stayed at home, looked after the children, raised the children, cooked for you and looked after the house, basically the cleaning of the house and that. And after 20, 30 years, she's no longer employable and that type of thing. And then you want to divorce her and you walk away with all the money and all the assets. No, that's not going to happen. That is the one where they will set aside anti-nuptial contracts and say that they're not of full force and effect. It doesn't do away with it, but it will certainly be looked at a lot stricter and decided by the person presiding as to what the position is. So certainly those old anti-nuptial contracts, not of no force and effect, they are still there. Basically what they have done, which is very good, is that the new bill is there to align with constitutional principles of equality and non-discrimination, ensuring that religious customary union of this in civil marriages. In other words, all parties will be treated fairly when it comes to marriages. So that's a very important one. So those two aspects, one, the landlord, two, marriages, are both of very, very big importance and you know, use to the people that need it and it's there to be sorted. The next little thing that we have that there's been a nice change with, of course, is, you know, the new SARS rule could save you thousands. The threshold for tax-free profit is now moved to $3 million. That allows, I suppose, everybody to keep a lot more when selling. So that has increased. And, you know, with that as well goes the fact that from the 1st of March, SARS increased capital gains tax exclusion on primary residence. Remember, a primary residence is the one where you stay. It's the one owned by you, and you have two primary residences. So you can't buy three or four houses and say, oh, that's my primary residence. Yes. You'll have to prove that you lived there and stayed there and that type of thing. So the updated tax tables now released after the 2026 national budget in February 26 amended that to $3 million from $2 million, which is a huge increase in price. So, you know, in simple terms, it means a larger portion of the gain from a property will now be exempt from tax. You know, so for example, if you bought a house for, let's say, $1.8 million and sold it for $4.5 million, you would generate, you know, capital gains on that of $2.7. Under the old act, only $2 million was exempt. Now you've got $3 million exempt, so you won't have any tax implications on a sale for as much as 4.5 where you purchase maybe for 1.8. You know, it falls into the tax-free brand and capital gains tax is done away with. The other important thing that there is well is that there are a lot of stricter and more precise rules for estates and complexes. It's become common in South Africa for people to moving to what they call gated areas or an estate that is, you know, cordoned off and that type of thing and looked after by security companies, by, you know, there's, you know, there who's accountable for what, who's responsible for what there. So, you know, the what's happened now is that management has become a very big thing in those complexes. And the new Act provides for skills, skill audits, you know, and the allowance to appoint managing agents to look after it and who now assume a fiduciary responsibility. In other words, they replace the trustee. They are the person that is held responsible. So, you know, be careful if you're one of these property companies that look after complexes and that, you now are the one that can be taken to task. You now can be charged criminally. You now can be charged civilly and have a damages claim against you. So, you know, it's there. So it's expected that poor governance is now no longer acceptable. You need to ensure that you have a good, knowledgeable, trusty body that outweighs, you know, the expenses that there are in the complex, that knows what they're doing, that does it correctly. There is right of recourse. Your CSOS is now compulsory for everybody. There's no, that's a community services ombuds system. There's no longer certain areas that are exempt or anything like that. The only exemption there is now on that is that if you, your levies are under a certain amount, you don't need to pay towards it. It's not a big amount, but I think it's 500 Rand. So if your levy is in excess of 500, there's a percentage that you must pay. And yes, the CSOS, the Community Schemes Ombuds Services, they do adjudicate on disputes at no charge, and there's no cost orders that go with it, which is quite nice. So, you know, whereas poor governance can have severe financial consequences by way of a court action, CSOS is now there to assist with a neglected or poor, basically poorly run scheme, which is undesirable and in many instances very difficult to sell where there's not proper control. So, you know, you don't want to walk into a complex where you see that some of the houses aren't painted, that the roof is coming down, and that there are people living in there that haven't done any maintenance and that type of thing. So all of that is tied up now in your rules and regulations and complexes in South Africa where, you know, you can make sure that it's done and safe in that regard. Also, new laws that are coming to effect in respect of the taxi transport and things like that. Very important that there are now stricter rules in place, and the government appears to be doing something with all forms of transport, not only the taxis, but Uber and things like that as well. You know, they're in certain areas, I think Transvaal is one of them, or Gauteng as we call it, there's police units that operate and work with them. I mean, sadly, as we open the papers today, and there's a situation where somebody got a lift home with people and there was then a fight outside, and were shot dead in the driveway. You know, the war with taxis and that is really unnecessary as well. You know, but then of course we're not involved in that. We don't know what the true gripes are and need to, I suppose, keep our noses out of it. This is just a couple of things that I thought we keeps on being delayed because it's not proper in the sense that they're not fairly confident that what they put into place is the correct demerit system at the present moment. But right, that's going to be a very interesting one as well. You know, they're going out of their way to make sure that traffic is under control. You know, that people have proper valid licenses, that people adhere to the rules of the road. You know, adhere to no drinking and driving, road rage and all that type of thing will all be sorted with the new demerit system that will come into place as well. A very interesting one. I mean, we chatted about that because it was supposed to come in at the beginning of the next month and then it was delayed.
Repealed.
So, you know.
And then just very, very quickly, just one out of interest would be the upcoming elections. Now, certain laws get promulgated at certain times to basically govern the elections as a sort of self-standing event. And then there's a build-up to what's allowed at certain times in terms of what political parties, for instance, are allowed to do. And then voter registration. I mean, all that type of thing also falls within certain ambits of the law.
Timeous registration. You know, you can't just decide tomorrow that I'm Joe Soap and I'm going to stand and I'm going to fix the potholes in our town because I'm going to become the councillor like the old days who was there for the people, worked for the people.
Yeah.
These days, it's a hell of a thing. You've got to register properly. And of course, as well, you've got daily you read about this political party or that political party that's using the name of the party to, you know, prepare for elections, going to feed people in feeding schemes, going to fix houses and potholes using, it as an election campaign. And that's all illegal. I mean, I think locally, our dear old Mayor was in trouble with one of those as well.
Yeah, where there's a very fine line between sort of party politics and municipal business, you know, and the two should not cross. But that would obviously be a chat for another whole day, the Electoral Act. But Peter,
obviously when we build up to the elections, we'll chat on the elections and what the position is, what the different houses are on that thing. My good new lady, and ask her to do some research on that so that we get on to there and sort that out, knowing what is the position with elections, with the forthcoming elections, what can and what can't be done. We'll certainly chat
and cover that.
I think that's in May elections, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not sure. I think they're going to be sort of later towards the end of the year, the municipal elections.
Looks like it'll spread out to November.
So we'll look at that. But Peter, if anybody has got questions and maybe they've sort of misunderstood a law or they were under the impression something had changed or hadn't changed, how can they get in touch if they want to get more information with Alam's attorneys?
They can find us at 6 Sansom Road in Berea. Telephone 043-721-018. Alternatively, if they just like us on Facebook, add a S to our surname, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar. Like us there and you'll pick up everything there as well. And of course, always look at Wild Coast FM and you'll find all our details there.
Great. Peter, thank you very, very much. Have a good week and we'll chat again next week Monday.
Yeah, thanks, Wayne.
Thanks, Peter.
Always lovely chatting.
Take care. Thank you very much there. That's Peter Allam with today's Legal Eagle Chat. And very interesting. Laws that are changing, laws that have changed. If you are involved in whichever industry or business line you are involved in, it's advisable to keep up to date with the changing laws, especially as Peter pointed out, in domestically, complexes, rentals, leasing, etc., etc.